Turn with me, please, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. As we continue our study of this passage of Bible prophecy, I think it would be well worth your while to get a copy of the scripture and open it so you can see for yourself what the Bible says. We are living in a day when Christians are too apt to take somebody else's word for what the Bible says. Instead of being like the Bereans, you remember that Paul, as he talked about the Berean believers, the Christians in Berea, they searched the scriptures daily to see whether these things be so. I would much prefer you taking the Bible, studying for yourself, and ultimately coming to a point where you ask the Lord to show you. You go ahead and listen to what I say. Don't believe it simply because you're hearing it on the radio or because you're hearing it from a preacher. Let it be a goad. Let it be like spurs in the flank of a horse to drive you on to study on your own. It does you no good to be able to tell somebody else what some third party has said. When it comes to the matter of your salvation, when it comes to the matter of your faith, how you live your life, the standards that you adhere to, your convictions, the important thing is, what does the Bible say? Now, when you know what the Bible says, you have an effective standard for measuring your convictions and your beliefs or the words of a man or the teachings of a church. What does the Bible say? Now then, with that in mind, let's go then to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we'll be looking at verse 7. I'll give you just a moment to check that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning with verse 7. Now then, in verse 7 it says, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. The blessed Holy Spirit, as he resides in the body of believers, as he empowers the believers to take a stand for that which is right, his ministry within the church causes the church to be the salt of the earth, as the scripture says, and as I pointed out yesterday, salt is both an irritant and a preservative." An irritant. Have you ever gotten a very small nick, a cut, a paper cut maybe, and maybe not even noticed it until a drop of sweat got into it and it burned? Well, there was enough salt in that sweat to irritate the nerve that's exposed there. Or if you should happen to get salt water in it, my goodness, it lights up your attention, doesn't it? Sure. It is an irritant. When there is something wrong, it points out, hey, we got a hole here, we got a wound here, here's an injury, you need to take care of this. Salt does that. In addition, salt is often used in food production, not only to spice things up, it's also used as a preservative in some cultures. When we consider the role of the church as being typified by salt, both an irritant, to let the society know, hey, you got a problem here, to let the individual know, you got a problem here, you need to deal with this, you need to address this problem from a biblical standpoint. It is also a preservative in that it has held back the church's presence. Now, when I say the church, I'm not talking about a particular brand of church. I'm simply talking about the church in a universal sense. That is, a body of believers, the entire body of believers, that is, those who know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they have placed their faith in Jesus Christ. They have been redeemed, not with silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. They have been born again supernaturally by the grace of God, not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His grace and His mercy He saved us. Now, the church, as defined in that sense, has been that which is holding back, serving as a bulwark, as a wall, I suppose you could say, against the advance of the Antichrist's program. Now, in verse 8, "Then shall that wicked be revealed." Now, let's go back. I want to read verse 6, 7, and 8 together so you get the flow of thought. "And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his kingdom, of his coming. Now, you will note verse 8 does not end with a period, but rather it continues on. That sentence is going to finally end in verse 10. But let's start once again with verse 8. Then shall that wicked be revealed. Now, you'll notice it doesn't say that wicked one. The adjective is both adjective and noun. The word wicked, you will note in the King James, it is capitalized with a W, capital W, that wicked. Actually, when it is, when you go back to the Greek and you see the word that is translated into the English as wicked, that word means to be destitute of law, a man of lawlessness. There will be no structure, no system of jurisprudence that holds this individual in check. He owes no allegiance to any standard but himself. Then, that is, after the Holy Spirit's restraining presence is removed, as the church is raptured out, then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Now you may say, now wait a minute, how do you know that's the Antichrist? Well, if you go to Revelation chapter 19, and incidentally, always do this, interpret Scripture in the light of Scripture. It's a law of interpretation. If you are facing a passage that is unclear, all true Bible expositors, all those who are genuinely interested in preaching and teaching the Word of God, historically have always done this. The Scripture interprets Scripture. When you're facing an obscure passage, the meaning is not clear to you. You always interpret an unclear passage in the light of not only its context, but in the light of other clear passages. Because you see, the Scripture cannot be broken. The Scripture will not say one thing here, say the same thing here, and here, and here, and then turn around and contradict itself in some other passage. The passage that is ambiguous or cloudy in your view, then you go ahead and you interpret it in light of, or in a way that is consistent with, the clear teaching of Scripture. Now, then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him, now we're still talking about this wicked one, we're talking about the Antichrist, even him whose coming is after, that is, let me go on. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. All right, going back to verse 9 once again, he says here, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. Now the word working comes from a Greek word, energia. You get the English word, or the equivalent of it, in the word energy, or energetic, okay? Even him whose coming is after the energy, or is based on the energy of Satan. Now, energy, I believe, if you go to a book on physics, I think energy will be defined something like the ability to do work. This individual is going to be doing things based on the power of Satan. Notice, please, it says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Now, just for a moment, let's if you have a Bible, keep a finger there and turn with me over to the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 13, as a matter of fact, John describes the appearance of the Antichrist, that is, his coming on the scene. There is some description of a physical description here, and yet I don't believe that refers directly to the man, but the form of government which he heads up. You will notice as we read down through verse, let's start with verse 2 of chapter 13. The beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, his feet as the feet of a bear, his mouth the mouth of a lion, and the dragon. Now the dragon, which is referred to here in verse 13, in the context is Satan back in chapter 12, okay, in Revelation 12. Now, let me just hit some of these things. I realize that I have gone through this with you earlier in our study of the book of Revelation, but for those of you who might have missed that, let me just simply throw this out. The government that he heads up is characterized with these animal traits, and these are also going back to the visions that Daniel records in the book of Daniel. When it says he is like a leopard, he is a fierce hunter, he's cunning, he is very fast. Feet like the feet of a bear, extremely powerful. When a bear kills, it is usually with the blow of one of his forepaws. The mouth of a dragon, very powerful. The mouth of a lion, very, very powerful. When a lion roars out on the savannas or on the veldt in Africa, everything pays attention. All right, and the dragon, that is Satan, gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And you'll find not only is the Antichrist so empowered, you will also find later in chapter 13, the second beast that arrives on the scene, that is the false prophet, is also empowered the same way. In verse 12, he says, "And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. He doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them," notice the word, "deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he hath power to do in the sight of the beast." And it goes on. Now, as I look at the clock, I realize I'm not going to have time to satisfactorily tie this off. Got about a minute yet. But we will be dealing with this for the next several broadcasts. And I invite you, if you have opportunity and you want to take notes, have pen and paper handy. And when we start this again on the next broadcast, then you can jot down these references and do some studying on your own. But now let's go back, please, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. "Even him," speaking of the Antichrist, "whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders." You know, this is not a period there. This individual, when he comes, is empowered by the devil. And that power is able, or by that power, he is able to produce signs. Now the word signs comes from a Greek word that means miracles, literally miracles to convince. Signs and lying wonders, they are to deceive. Webster defines, the dictionary will define lying as the intent to deceive. Now that's about all we're going to have time for this morning, and we'll come back to this on the next broadcast, and I hope you'll join me then. Folks, it's an exciting time in which to be alive. It's also a terrifying time. It's terrifying in the fact that we are running out of time in which to get our loved ones to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. My friend, it is what the Bible says.